The truth, it's an important thing to know, which is one of the reasons it's such a blessing that we have access to the scriptures. The Bible is what tells us the truth about the origin of the world, created by God in six actual days. The Bible is what tells us the truth about ourselves. We're thoroughly sinful by nature. The Bible is what tells us the truth about Jesus. He's holy, the only Son of the living God. The Bible tells us the truth about salvation. It comes to us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us the truth about the truth. One would like to think that such a revelation wouldn't be necessary. One would like to think that people would simply recognize that truth exists and that it is found in Scripture. But sadly, that's not the case. There are many in the world who deny that there even is such a thing as absolute truth. In order to protect us from such delusionary thinking, Jesus provided us with a short statement regarding the truth. He told us the truth about truth. One of these such statements is found in that which is sometimes referred to as Jesus' high priestly prayer. And speaking to the Father, he says very simply, "Your word is truth." Continuing to linger a little bit this morning in the shadow of Reformation time, we consider how significant that principle was to the Reformers. For one of the basic principles set forth by the Reformation was sola scriptura, by Scripture alone. With that phrase, the Church of the Reformation upheld this teaching that in matters of faith and life, the Word of God is absolute truth. It is the sole authority. Centuries after the Reformers reiterated this biblical principle, however, another voice emerged in the same Germany where these Reformers worked. It was a voice that proclaimed the very opposite perspective, a voice that belonged to a man named Friedrich Nietzsche. Unlike Luther, he totally rejected the teaching that absolute truth was to be found in the Bible. As a matter of fact, he appears to have rejected the notion that absolute truth exists at all. One of the statements for which this philosopher is known is, "There are no eternal facts, as there are no absolute truths." Nietzsche was part of that larger group of people referred to as philosophers, and quite often, the philosophers of this world are among those who flatly reject the notion that there is absolute truth, especially that which is found in the Bible. The starting point for individuals such as these is a complete rejection of Scripture, a point from which they then attempt to answer life's difficult questions on the basis of their own thoughts and experiences. The results are dismal as well as deadly. All that someone like Nietzsche is capable of coming up with, having rejected the Scriptures, is the pitiful conclusion that there is really no such thing as absolute truth. And operating as he did in such a spiritual vacuum, he came up with some truly devilish and destructive conclusions. Perhaps the most famous of which was his declaration that Gott ist tot, God is dead. It is from such dangerous and depressing philosophy that Jesus intends to shield his people. And he does this through the comforting reassurance in our text. Not only is there such a thing as truth, it's easily and readily available in the Bible. The one who created us has supplied us with his word of truth so that we do not remain hopelessly in the dark. As we read and study the Bible, the Holy Spirit reveals to us that we are reading and studying something very different from any other word. Unlike the writings of mere humans, the scriptures are timeless, trustworthy, and completely true. And what a relief it is to know that there is such a thing as eternal truth. One has to pity those who are deceived by the devil into thinking that there is the truth is only illusionary, or if it sort of exists at all, is merely a relative notion. Imagine how awful it would be to have that as your only foundation. How frightening to see only a big question mark at the end of our earthly lives. How unnerving to wonder if there even is a God who will be there in the inevitable times of distress. God dead? How unfulfilling life would be if one really thought that there were no absolutes to believe, no established reason to live. Such is the sad lot for anyone who rejects the fact that God has revealed to us the truth. I suppose Nietzsche, in his blindness, thought that he was doing humanity a favor by releasing individuals from the strictures of established religious thought. He probably thought that he was liberating mankind from, with his philosophical dreams, freeing people to determine for themselves what really is important, what really is true. But he was the one who was ensnared, trapped, bound by a lie that can only end in eternal ruin. His was hardly the last word on the topic of truth, a point made by a t-shirt that someone produced. It begins with that famous quote, "God is dead, Nietzsche." But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, "Nietzsche is dead, God." Whether or not God verbalizes such things, it underscores the point. Who has the last word? Who has the ultimate word? Who has the true word? That is God, the word which does so very much for us. Through that truth comes to us calming peace. We know what awaits the Christian, the open doors of paradise, which have been fixed open through the atoning work of our Savior Jesus. Through that truth comes concrete confidence. We know that we have a God to whom we can go and who will be there for us in the times of distress, eager to turn difficulties into blessings. Through that truth, we are giving meaningful purpose. We know that we have a Savior who has enlisted us now in the great work of proclaiming that saving truth, which has already come to us and saved us. The danger of falling prey to such worldly philosophy might seem distant to those of us who have the opportunity to be in touch with God's Word on a daily basis, but all you have to do is flip on the nearest television screen or go to a public institution of higher learning to be pelted with this terrible delusionary teaching that there is no such thing as truth, let alone that which is found in Scripture. Recognizing that this danger is ever present, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, sounded this warning: "Beware lest anyone rob you through philosophy and empty deceit, after the tradition of men, after the principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." Jesus Christ is all we need. In him we have complete life. In him we have complete salvation. In him we have a perfect revelation of all that we need to know. In Christ we have truth, of which we sing this morning in the form of hymn 290, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4 of hymn 290.
Pagan. blessing, trust this.